Verses 4 through 13. It says, love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will fully know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Says the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to join in this place on this day to worship you as a community of faith. Be with us and speak through me and inspire me that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, it's difficult to hear 1 Corinthians 13 without immediately thinking of the last wedding you went to or your own wedding. White dresses, rented tuxedos, flower bouquets. Today's scripture is the most used scripture that couples decide to use during a wedding ceremony. So in this scripture, what's going on? Who is Paul talking to? Why is he writing these words? For Paul, these words actually arose out of a pastoral crisis in the Corinthian church. The Corinthian Christians are abusing their freedom, they're refusing to share, they're scorning their neighbors' spiritual gifts, they're seeking recognition for themselves, they're jockeying for position in the church. In essence, they've been using their gifts for the advancement, not for the advancement of the whole, but to take ownership for themselves, for their personal gain. And so this morning, Paul was encouraging the Corinthian Christians with a simple command. Practice love in a way that puts others first. As I finished last week's scripture and talking about who is God, and we looked at all these different examples of who God is, I said that no matter what, the way we see God and who God is for our life, God is love. And so this morning's scripture is talking about the way in which God calls us to exhibit God's love to one another. Paul's writing to this church, and everything he says that love is not, they are showing, and everything that he says love to grow. All of us have room to gain a little more patience, a little bit more kindness, to be more like Jesus. Paul says, no matter what gifts we have to bring to the body, if they're not brought on the basis and in the spirit of love, that they're useless, meaningless. Speaking eloquently, I struggle with all the time. It was important. It's great to be a fine speaker. But if the heart is not filled with love, then eloquent speech just sounds like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, Paul says. I learned early on in my ministry that people can figure out if you really care about them based on transparency and commitment. Will you be there when they need you? Are you there, and do you notice the small things as well as the big things? And I try to live in that way as I lead and as I encourage others around me in their leadership. Transparency, commitment, small things go a long, long ways. And people don't care what you know until they know that you care and that you really do love them. I just went back and yesterday and officiated another funeral in Elgin for the father of one of my good friends that I developed there. I hadn't talked to him in a little while. My phone rang on Thursday and I thought he was butt dialing me. And I was like, "Hey, man, what's going on? What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm folding bulletins, or printing bulletins, actually. What are you doing?" "I'm on my way to the funeral home." My dad just passed away yesterday. I was wondering if you could do the funeral. "Sure. I'm available Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday. How about Saturday? Or Saturday?" Doing those small things, being present, showing God's love. God continues in these initial verses to say that even if we have faith that can move mountains but do not love, I am nothing. If I have all the possessions and give them all away to the poor in a spirit of boasting for personal spotlight but do not have love, it means nothing. Our call is to love God and to love others. For we can do everything in the world. We can talk religiously. We can claim we know everything about the Bible. We can work tirelessly. We can give sacrificially. But if we don't do it in love and through for in Jesus Christ, we miss it. That's the difference of the church. Because all that we do is in response to God's love. We don't love so that we can be loved, but because we know that we already are loved and we want others to know that love as an expression and a response to Christ's love. That's what makes the church different. That's what it means to be that church in the community when we're off campus, when we're serving others. That's what the church is about. That's the way that God calls us to love. The character that of love that Paul mentions in the scripture is not a romantic love or in the Greek eros love as expressed at weddings. But the love that Paul mentions in the scripture is an agape love. It's a God-centered love. It's an unconditional, sacrificial love of God to redeem all of his children. Agape love is not, in the first instance, a feeling, an action. It's a love that seeks its not its own good, but the good of the one who is loved. It requires us to place the other person first, and by taking a risk and showing your intent regardless of the other person's response. Well, I was trying to think of a way to express this. It's like you're showing your cards to the other person before their cards have been dealt. You're saying, "I don't know if you're going to play or not, but here's what I have. I'm going to leave the decision to you to respond or not. No conditions, no expectations, no stipulations. Here you go." And we've seen this love best embodied in God's love for humankind and the life and resurrection of Jesus. A love that awakens believers to the transformation and renewal of love in the body of Christ. And as we take steps to be more loving in the agape type love, we take steps to be more like Christ. But friends, we don't have to scare people into knowing about a God of love. We just walk with them. We just love them. One day a man knocked on a door of the church, and he said, "I've been floating around for a long time, and I was wondering if I could join your church." Yeah, the pastor said, love to have you join the church. First, let's find out kind of this doesn't we don't go through this process here, but let's find out what you know about faith and all of that. With Christmas coming, where was Jesus born? Pittsburgh. Well, no, he wasn't born in Pittsburgh. Philadelphia. No, the pastor said, wasn't born in Philadelphia. The pastor said, Bethlehem. And the man's face lit up. Ah, that's right. I knew it was somewhere in Pennsylvania. In a quick Google search, I did learn that there are at least 10 Bethlehems in the United States. Just for your trivia night. You see, for a new person of faith who comes to the doors and who enters into the church, Christ is born where people live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is how the world knows that Jesus is alive and that the world is different when you belong to a church and when people are living out their call to love as God loves. Every second, every day, every decade, every moment, to try to live as God loves. And so, a few moments, we'll enter back into the area. We'll scatter, and many of us will go our own ways. How will Austin know you are a living example of God's love for the world? How will someone who comes into your presence know that you are different? That Christ was born? And that you are a channel and an agent of God's love for the world around you today? Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your love that you have for us, for your example of love and your call upon our lives to share that love and grace with those around us. God, may we do it in a way that is patient and kind. May we do it in a way that seeks truth. May we do it in a way that you have shown us an example. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. Be with us. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.